Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bad End Podcast. This is episode number 47. My name is Josh Calixto. I write for Kotaku.com.
And I'm Kyle Cookstell. I am a co-host of Bad End, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Josh Calixto.
Hi, it's just us two today. As you will notice, we typically have a third member of the podcast. Her name is Katie McCarthy. She's a great, great person. Works at the
such a great person
esteemed website usgamer.net. And you know, last time she wasn't here, we recorded an episode, if you will remember, called Boys Time, in which we talked about the things that boys liked. And I was thinking about it going into this episode, and you know, a lot of time has passed since that episode was recorded, right, Kyle?
Oh yeah, a lot of time.
I moved out to California. I had some ups and downs in my dating life. We started a Patreon. We made some friends through that.
I got married.
Kyle got married. I've thought about the concept of fatherhood, owning my own house, getting married. I've contemplated these things. What other sort of things have you done since then, Kyle?
I bought a PS4.
He bought a PS4. He got a cat.
I got a cat. I have had a cat.
Quote, fur baby, if you will.
A fur baby. I got more books. I filed my taxes, and I also filed my business taxes by myself.
I filed taxes. I've been putting money into my 401k. I bought some stocks. So a lot of time has passed since then. And, you know, I go back and I listen to that episode and I think, who was I? You know, who was this young, impressionable man talking about Doritos and Mountain Dews and babes? That's not me. That's not true to me anymore. And so this episode, we're going to be talking about this stuff from a different angle. This is Men's Time. Welcome, listener.
No more boys. This is men's. Men's hour. Put on your smoking jacket. Grab a stogie.
Get the J. Crew sit down khakis.
Crew khakis. Get some Sperry's. Sit down in a nice plush armchair with your men after a nice match of golf. Grab some scotch.
Stroke your fully grown-in beard that grows in flawlessly.
Think about how you're going to cheat your two kids into college with your rich person connections.
Swipe your hand through your receding hairline and join us.
For men's time.
For men's time. So throughout the episode, we're going to be talking about the things gamer men like, because this is a new demographic. We're on the up and up. We're here and we're a big deal. We actually kind of rule the world now. We rule the gaming world, unlike before. You know, this is a new time where men rule the world. So we're going to talk about some of that stuff and what that's like for us. And I want to start, Kyle, by talking about the thing us gamer men love the most, which is...
The most?
Potentially the most. I got a few thoughts on what I like the most as a gamer man. But let me know what you think of this one. We're busy men, you know, we got jobs, mouths to feed, mostly our own, but I like to get a little bit of the old free time in now and again.
Oh, yeah.
Free
time? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about free time, because I'm an adult man, and I don't got time to be playing no 60-hour, 80-hour, 100-hour games.
Listen, I bought a PS4. And I was like, I'm going to man up. I'm going to buy a real console, not this boys' time Nintendo Switch. I bought a PS4, and I've played no more than 6 hours of Red Dead Redemption 2. And about 6 hours of Dragon Age. No, not Dragon Age. What's the JRPG?
Dragon Quest?
What's Dragon Quest.
Yeah, yeah.
2 hours of Persona 5, but I have played about 30 hours of Tetris Effect.
Yeah.
Because listen, I like my free time. I don't got time to sit down and play long boys games. I gotta play. I gotta get my time, and I gotta feed my kids. I gotta feed my cat.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tend to the house. I gotta pay taxes every week. You know.
Right. And
love that free time.
I've been gravitating toward what we coined jerky games in the last episode, which has since proven to be somewhat of a controversial term for
many valid reasons.
Yeah. It's not a real thing, but it's sort of a real thing. And, you know, I love beef jerky in real life. I love jerky games. That is, I like to sit down with a game for a couple hours, enjoy it, get what I will out of it, and then just move on to the next thing, whether I finish the thing or not. You know, I like my stuff bite-sized. But, you know, I still do make time for the old Red Deads to the extent that I can. I've been playing Hearthstone for the better part of 6 years now, which is crazy to me to think about. And so, yeah, we love getting our free time. We love contemplating the implications of, I feel like we spend more time thinking about how video games fit into our lives now that we're older than we do like actually playing games almost.
Or, oh,
like,
yeah.
Talking about just the games themselves, you know, like writing articles about like, where do video games fit now that I'm like coming up on 30 and I got a job at the miserable corporate job that I always thought that I was never going to have. You know what I'm saying?
I think the real thing is like, maybe they don't fit. Like I'm not 100% certain that once you got a full-time job that you're the target market for video games.
Right.
Even like once you just crest, I think 27, and you like go to a Best Buy game section, that's like the most alienating feeling in the world because you like love games and you can remember going to the Best Buy game section or like GameStop and like being kind of like jacked. You're like, this is cool. I get to play Skyrim on a 360 before it's out. It's awesome. And like, if you've liked games that long, it's just so hard to not feel totally disenfranchised from like video games and like video games culture,
mm-hmm.
which is why you draw inside yourself and you just think about games instead of engaging with it. Cause honestly, like takes a lot of fucking work to like separate the wheat from the chaff in terms of like, okay, what is actually the game this year that's 60 hours long that I should actually play because there were 30 of them and they all got 8.6s and like only one of them is actually worth my time.
I'm almost happy when a game that I was getting hyped about gets bad reviews, because then it's another game that I don't have to feel bad about not playing, you know?
That's definitely a thing. That's like a, I think gamer men love talking about their backlog.
Oh my God.
Love a lot of backlog chat.
Do you know how like, big my backlog is?
Dude, you have no idea how big my backlog is.
Bro. Come over and I will show you how big my backlog is.
I'll show you my backlog right now. You want to, let's just live do this really fast. All right, let's go to the internet.
All right, you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Steam backlog calculator. Here we go.
You know what though? Because I don't even have my Humble account open, which arguably has the
bulk. Oh, no. This is just Steam. That's another thing. Gamer dads love a good sale just to get it all, because it's a lot of potential, right? It's like, well, I can spend $10, pay child support, but get 10 games.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't have to sting the child support bill anymore. I got 300.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm doing it right now.
I only have 334 games in the Steam library.
No. I'm not talking about the number. I'm talking about the time. How long to beat Steam.com? Listen, users, not losers, listeners, you can also go to this website, like I'm doing right now, and look up how long it will take you to beat your Steam backlog.
Wait, really?
Yeah, dude. How long to beat Steam.com? This doesn't seem to work, so maybe not that site.
Okay. Okay. Did I just give some random guy my Steam profile? account.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love avoiding phishing scams on the internet. That's one of the things that I love. And Kyle, you just made me do the opposite of that.
Okay, sorry.
Don't do this, listeners. Don't.
If you get calculated,
this site looks real sketchy.
Nah, dude, I just put my information in there, just throwing it in.
Okay.
Oh wait. Oh, my profile is not public. That's why.
You know, I'm gonna say, you know, I have 334 games in my Steam. Only 85 are installed, which is actually a pretty high compared to what I was thinking. You know, I do uninstall, but I would say the rotation actually out of my 385 games is closer to around 5 games right now. So I should not have 85 games installed. This is
I have
equivalent of hoarding. What's up?
440 games owned.
Oh, wow.
So I'm way ahead of you there.
You really are.
All right. And then, sorry, and installed. What's installed? Installed 146.
Yeah.
I do not play 146 games. I still have great games like Risk of Rain 1 installed.
Okay. That's. We talked a little about Risk of Rain 2 in the previous episode.
I got Bamboo EP still installed. Yeah. Anyway, my backlog's so big. Gamer men love comparing backlog links.
I think you proved that. Just now. Another thing we love is looking at Twitter, looking at Facebook, listening to the whippersnappers who are now getting into games and essentially commentating on what they're saying, why it's dumb, and why they will one day become mature enough to understand why they're wrong. So let me give you a couple examples of this. One thing we do on this podcast a lot is we talk shit about gamers. And, you know, the 14-year-old gamers who typically are doing the Steam review bombs, getting involved with such movements as, you know what I'm talking about. Listening to people like PewDiePie and others who will not be named. Those kids, you know, they're impressionable. And I love talking about why their thinking is flawed. It makes me feel more confident in my age.
It gets back to you, gamer man,
mm-hmm.
being able to justify the fact you're not playing a game.
Yes.
Because you can kind of chalk it up to like the kids stuff. You're like, that's not.
Yes. Yes. I feel like this is to gamer men what complaining about the lack of Apex Legends updates is to gamer boys. You know?
Mm.
Like, we've essentially switched the things that we care about. You know? They care about dumb stuff and we care about what they care about. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, this kind of gets back to, I feel like this might be a thing. This might be a crossover from boys to men and then men to boys, is that gamer men love the classics.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we said the gamer boys love the classics, but we're like the gamer men love the classics, but they love it in a different way. They love it in a way where they're like, you're playing this new Fortnite something.
Yes.
Have you tried something like Counter-Strike 1.6?
Yeah.
Come on.
They.
And then when you're not playing new games, it's because you're just playing the classics. You're playing 600 hours of Alpha Centauri.
You know, these kids, they're calling like Portal 2 the classics, and it's like Portal 2 is great, but hey, have you heard of a little game called Battletoads?
Oh man, classic.
Classic. They like the classics. We love the classics. We understand the classics. We lived the classics. And that's, you know, that's a big gulf between the gaming boys and the gaming men. So
oh yeah,
we get it a little bit more than they do. And I, you know, one thing I do also love is, this is also has to do with Twitter, is I love learning from other people about ways that I could be a better gamer and respecting other gamers who are coming into the scene now, which is unequivocally good. I know this is like, we're doing like a parody thing here. This is difficult because I'm like, we're like making fun of ourselves, but it's like, I do love that. I like learning about what the latest thing is of ways I could be considerate to other gamers. So that's why I liked tweeting about, I like to see people tweet about, and I like to share Microsoft's adaptive Xbox controller.
Oh man, you gotta share that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not share that, you know?
Love talking about how cool that is for people who are not like me. Love to talk about how bad it is to disrespect women in games by playing stuff like Bayonetta and Rumble Roses and Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Getting at a real point here, which is that as a gamer man, you have a podcast where you talk about these ideas with people.
Yes, exactly.
If you're a gamer man, you probably got a pod with some of your friends that you met when you played games, and you're like, hey, we have fun playing games together. We respect women and all kinds of gamers. Like, we should have a podcast. And then you got to find some way to elevate your voice. Maybe you blog, mm-hmm. but it's 2019, so you're probably casting.
You know, and if your podcast isn't talking about women's issues, particularly if you have a 3-person podcast that's all dudes, then you're really messing up, and that you're just a sexist podcast at that point. So you gotta be devoting a good portion of your cast to talking about the things that women experience and essentially weighing in and contemplating the repercussions of what women have to go through as gamers, because they live in our world, we live in their world, and it's a new world, but we all appreciate it. And so that's why we're talking so much about women, because we care, and it's important that we say something as men, especially since we only have men on our podcast right now, because our other member, Katie, is out for the week. So we gotta pick up the slack by talking more about it. And I think that's why I love panels that are all men.
this is another thing that's related to this. If you're a gamer man, you mostly just, you talk to your friends, and you only play games with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You only invite your friends to stuff. You don't, but then at the same time, you talk about how it's really hard to find new stuff and new people. But at the same time, you mostly talk to people that you already know. You invite them to all your stuff.
Yeah.
You don't expand. You go to the club. The club's real nice. They have club sandwiches. You get to take your shoes off.
The gamers
club. They give you complimentary scotch. Yeah, gamer men club. You get a free pass. You get your woke badge. But you just talk to your friends.
There's no, you know, and this brings up a good point, but I think there's not really a place for gamer men right now. I think there needs to be a space for gamer men.
I think, listen, full non-parody mode, Josh, that's a great idea. That's like if someone can monetize the like 30 to 50 demographic for men who play games, that's like a lot of money just sitting there. Because listen, gamer men, we got money. Let me tell you mm-hmm. that. We got jobs. We may have kids and we may have a wife or a husband or whatever. But like, I just buy games on Steam now and half the time don't think about it. Like, it's not a decision for me. I'm not like, man, am I going to eat a burger this week or am I going to like buy this game? Like, and I'm not, I don't care about refunds. I just like, I can just do it. I'm like in terms of like the gamer demographic, I'm like, I can just buy shit. And if there was someone who was like properly talking to me as like a fucking grown-ass man that also likes video games and doesn't like make me feel like I gotta be like 13 years old to engage with it, I'd be like there for that.
You know what though? These places have started sprouting up, and I think this actually only proves our point that there is demand for this and it could be fulfilled better, which is barcades. Think about New York, right?
Oh, yeah.
Barcades is like the epitome
of that.
That's
the proto, that's like proto gamer man zone.
It's got, you know,
beer.
Beer, cider.
The classics.
The classics. Windjammers. Fucking Mortal Kombat OG.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo
Metal
Edition.
Slug. It's got those lights that have where you can see the filament in the middle hanging down from the ceiling with a sort of cagey shade over it that doesn't really act as a lampshade, but you could still see the light glowing out from there. It's got the dark wood that's been treated very intensely, and it's like a very dark wood, so
kind of distressed.
It's like a rustic, manly look that's not tacky or gamery in the sense that we would traditionally think about gamers. Classic rock playing over the speakers.
Oh, definitely some rock. Definitely some Spruce, some Bruce.
Bruce Springsteen, baby. The
boss. Gotta have some Bruce.
Whoa, I'm on fire. what's it called? This is a crucial element that I'm forgetting. Some of them sell jerky. You know?
Oh, some of them will definitely sell jerky. Most of them sell jerky
and snacks. That's perfect. True.
The lighting is always a little brighter than you would expect it to be for an arcade. Because people's eyes are getting bad.
Because it's an arcade for men. So it's...
Yeah.
You got a little bit of a darker tone. You don't want to see my face entirely. You don't want to see the dried skin due to my bad skincare routine. And
they got, listen, they got well curated bar food.
Yep.
Not just like fries and a burger. Mm-hmm. They got like sliders.
Right.
And maybe they got like some fries, but they've got like a nice crisp and they got a little bit of chives on them.
Right.
And they serve it with spicy mayo.
Right. It's weird because it's like the barcade essentially emulates the experience and feeling of going to an arcade as a kid, or at least it's supposed to, right? But barcades didn't exist when we were kids. So it's like this weird, like fucking rejiggered nostalgia machine that like works in some ways. Like when you put your dollar into the coin machine and the coins come out and you're like, oh, it feels like I'm a kid again. But then you're looking around and like there's all these like
everyone's got a beer gut.
Everyone's like hipsters with their like way more attractive girlfriends than they are, and they're just like sitting there playing fucking Strider really badly. And then there's like always the dudes in there who like never were really into games, but they're like, oh, I remember this one.
Now's the time.
Yeah, I remember the Aerosmith game that...
Oh, man, I feel like this is a crucial component of barcades, is like playing a game that you remember from your childhood and realizing you just suck ass at it. It's like, not because you were ever even good, but you're just like, wow.
Another thing I learned when I'm at barcades is that like I did...
Old games suck.
Well... hey buddy, respect the classics. But the other thing I realize when I'm at the barcade is how many of these games I did not play. Like,
oh,
I'm
yeah,
like, what the fuck is this shit? And it's like, that's like with like half the games. It's like, honestly,
yeah.
Like, I've heard about some of them just through like residual listening to video game podcasts where the hosts
from gamer men
are more gamer men than I am, but like,
yeah.
I wasn't going to arcades all the time as a kid. I didn't have the NES, the non-Super NES. I'd never had that. So like, I'm out there playing Paperboy like a fucking chode and getting like a single digit score. Like that, it's showing the extent to which I am not a gamer man. But you know, as a gamer man, I think we're accepting of our shortcomings. We can, you know, kind of see that we don't have to really be the biggest on the block. We don't have to have had all the same experiences,
I feel like what I can see happening is that you're going to get like basically, so I'm like, I'm for like the commissioned game experience where you basically venues pay people to make games for them. Which is not, it's like not common, but it definitely doesn't not happen. So what I think will happen, if me, a moneyed man buying video game stuff, I could see a mixture of like Soho House plus like commissioned like Fantastic Arcade stuff doing like gangbusters. We've got like kind of a clubby, like a true on clubby vibe, but like you go and you like hang out. It's like those like kind of weird, that like Intel thing that we went to that was weird.
Oh yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like you actually want to be there because like the friends are there and you go like after work and you just go and hang and there's like Samurai Gun 2 is there and like some other shit and there's like a rotating cast. And like, I think the thing is like some of that curation's got to happen. Like, honestly, a lot of gamers not into it. I want like some sort of like, there needs to be a little bit of a filter going in that like,
it's like a club, but with games.
Yeah.
Like a nightclub.
I feel like that's, video games. That could be a thing. I feel like it could be a thing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that it could be a thing. And
I'm going to quit Bad End and do this.
What, dude?
Just, I'm not going to do that. I can't. Bad End for life. Maybe.
I love hardware.
Ooh, gear. Love gear. I think not gear. Even just hardware, just gear.
And this is one of those things where it's like, you got your single dude, maybe you're a married dude like Kyle. You got a little disposable income. You want some hardware. You might not be using it,
yeah,
but you want the hardware. And it's not tools like my dad no more. This is a new generation. I want a new motherboard. I want
new
ATX case. I want that modular synthesizer that I can plug into the other modular synthesizer that I have make some weird
speaking
beats that
my
sound
language
like Onomatoguchi on acid.
Oh yeah. I'm doing that right now. Next to me is
really?
Gear. I'm looking at it. I'm just sitting here looking at it. My gear. I don't even have really space for this gear, but I got it because I want gear. I'm like, I'm a man. I want to get some like expensive man gear. And like do expensive man stuff. Get some nice socks, nice jacket, make some beats. I think this is the thing I think you can do as a gamer man, is that you can basically get gear with no intention of necessarily using it in a productive manner. Because you could like, I think when you're a gamer boy, everything is like direct line to what you're doing in that moment. Like you don't get a video game and not play it for the next 20 hours. You don't buy a paintball gun and not go play paintball that weekend. You don't like get a PS4 after saving up for a year and not like just play it naked or something. Like you're just doing that. And I think as a gamer man, you start acquiring stuff because you're interested.
And you amass.
You definitely amass.
What are you? So your synthesizer stuff, Kyle. Didn't you play a show or something?
Oh man, I did play a show. So this is more gamer man or gamer boy, the gamer man, because I did actualize on an interest. But I got an OPZ, which is the new synthesizer by Teenage Engineering, which I highly recommend to anyone that is interested in this, because I can't play music. But I can sure as hell sequence a beat on a step sequencer. So I got it and I was like playing around with it and I ended up playing a show, but it wasn't a normal show. It wasn't like, I wasn't like making people dance. It was basically It was a 12-hour drone show where people just played drone music for 12 hours. So I got an hour slot in the show where I played the OPZ for an hour, which was just, it was just the OPZ too, which is crazy, but is basically like the music was like vibed out and reverb stuff. So it's not like you gotta play a set, right? It's like, I'm basically just like playing a single melody and just like bathing it in reverb and delay. And then kind of like moving around the tempo and stuff for like an hour. And
dude, it was fun, awesome. Man. Can you, so we should end the show with one of your originals. Just do a little like
I could try 30
second original thing and just send it to me and I'll put it as the end music.
I made a track recently on it that I was vibing with. So I might, I'll record that and then I'll send it to you.
Hell yes. That'll be amazing. Wow. Okay, let's move on here.
Wait, hold on. Let's not move on. You're also into music.
Yeah.
You can like sing and play guitar.
Yeah. I'm half Filipino, so that's just a genetic thing that you're
really
you're obligated to do as a Filipino. No, not actually, but I mean, there's a lot of Filipinos that do this shit that like sing YouTube covers of songs and play the guitar and sing along with it. That's not really, I'm allowed to say that, but I just bought a piano, an electric keyboard.
Whoa.
Not that's a some grand gear, piano, man. But an electric one. Yeah. It, you know,
is it a MIDI keyboard or is it an actual keyboard?
It's an actual keyboard, like a Yamaha. It's in the living room. It produces a real great sound. You know, it's not up there with the Lakais and the upper echelon models out there, but you know, it's a modest little thing. It produces a great sound with great timbre. It gets the job done for me. I'm able to play along with it. I got the headphones with it, so when the roommates are asleep, I can kind of practice while they're sleeping. A little incognito mode, you know what I'm saying? Don't wake up the kids. I got that. I just brought my electric guitar up to the house. And I'm going to start shredding a little bit. Haven't done that in a minute. But I love playing some riffs. Riffs are great.
Have you recorded anything?
Just like covers that I just do, like just me in front of the camera singing a song with the guitar.
I feel like you used to post those on Facebook, but I haven't seen.
Yeah, I don't post it on Facebook anymore. I post it on my YouTube though, just for fun. They don't really get views anymore. I think like the ones I would post on Facebook would have like, I think there's like, I have this theory that there's like a couple people who had like a random crush on me who would just re-listen to the song multiple times.
Like it's about me.
Or there's just like people who actually like the cover and are listening to it. Or perhaps the most likely scenario that it just so happened to SEO its way to the YouTube results of the obscure song that I'm covering. Cause most of them are not like super popular songs. They're like emo covers of like third tier groups that are not very well known and that I'll watch play to audiences of like 200 people. But are respected in the scene. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Curation, crate digging, all that stuff. It all goes hand in hand. And for me playing these songs is one of my songs like got like 1,000 views or something like that. So that was pretty cool.
Damn.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. People, it resonated with people. And then some other people whose covers I would watch would comment and be like, hey, I love this cover. And I'm like, hey, thanks. You're good. You're cool. I love your stuff too. So it's like I got to participate in that little YouTube community. So it's kind of fun. That's not really like a gamer men thing, but it is like a, it's like maybe it is sort of a gamer man thing, man.
I think getting into, so like just thinking about gear. So I just got really excited because I bought a receiver and I've been like really excited to get a receiver.
I think about receivers all the time.
Yeah. 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 Listen, this is, if you guys know what a receiver is, it sounds like a magical instrument if you don't know that this thing exists. Basically, imagine you got an old TV and it's got one HDMI port on it, right? And then you want, but you got like 10 things that you got to have the HDMI port for. And so the thing that the receiver does is that it basically allows you to have a single HDMI out, but then also have like 10 HDMI ins to the receiver. So instead of plugging everything into your TV directly, you basically plug it into a receiver and then do the out to your TV. And then your TV is always on the same source and you're just switching sources on the receiver. And also receivers are very oftentimes, they're like audio things. So not only you're getting nice video, you're also getting like, they have like inputs for high quality stereo out. So I just got a receiver and it's been a game changer because got nice speakers hooked up, got like all my stuff plugged in with easy source switching, got like cleaned up my cable mess, got a little rack. This is very gamer man.
This is
building out your like home theater.
Man cave.
I mean, it's a living room.
The boys like the idea of the man cave. The men like putting together the man cave.
I love filling with TV settings. Yeah. Like, let me get in there. Let me tweak the picture. I actually know what contrast and saturation.
What's the color grading look like?
Let me get like, I could change the gamut. Like I'll do the calibration. I'll make sure that motion smoothing is off.
How true are these blacks?
100%.
Yep. Love it. Love to talk about the industry. Yeah. Ooh. Gamer men love to talk business. You know, I like to talk about video game marketing and where it fails. I like to pretend that I would be better at video game marketing's jobs than video game marketers themselves. Particularly if I'm a journalist, that's something I would spend a lot of my time doing, is talking shit about video game. Hey, how come Sony is not fucking, the way that they're marketing this is terrible. If it was me, I would release this ad first, make the campaign a little bit more of a blah, blah, blah. All this stuff, packaging it together. I would be providing my input on what the best way to maximize profits, maximize ROI, maximize sales would be, by scolding the people who are marketing video games. The nice flip side of this is that if I ever do want to get out of games journalism and there's a Sony marketing position open, they'll see that I wrote all these articles about how bad the marketing was, and maybe they'll hire me based on my prowess and knowledge of the video game industry overall. So it's like a triple whammy.
Oh, 100%.
I know a lot about video games. This is why, like, have you ever had someone come up to you and be like, oh, hey, like, you know about video games? It's like, yeah. Or like, you work in video games? Yeah. And then they're like, hey, you think you could like get me an in at like Blizzard? I love Warcraft 2. Played a lot of that. And they think they like just like deserve a job, like they're gonna get a job there. That shit happens all the time, dude. That's another part of being a gamer.
Yeah, I think people don't realize that the video game industry is full of people who have like real jobs.
Yeah,
that are like bored. Yeah. That are like bored and hate their life. It's not just like fucking slides and ball pits.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's mostly people working really hard and like being sad.
Yeah. Yeah. You got anything to say about the industry?
Man, I got, as a gamer man, yeah, I think about it. I'm different. I'm not a journalist. Although in terms of me, my peak into gamer man, and when I was being a video games journalist for a little bit, when I joined Killscreen, one of the first things I asked in Slack was like, so what do we do about the keys? How do we get keys for games? I got to play games to do. And I was just such a fundamental misunderstanding of what a journalist actually does in video games, that right. Like, just like, got to get keys, right? I think about it a lot in terms of like, so I'm a game developer. I'm making a video game. I go to GDC not just to like play video games. I'm like pitching stuff. But I think about, like, if I was to have a video game company, what would I do? Like, right, what right. would I, how would I do it differently? Or like, how would I make my thing? Or like, what do I want to do? Which is a very game, that's a gamer man thought.
Yeah, for sure.
Gamer boys, boys time. Boys time just thinks about like, balancing. How cool it'd be to have a game where you could like do everything. And I'm like wondering, how do I make like equitable healthcare plans available for my employees? You know, it's like, how do I make a co-op work in New York City?
Right.
It's a very, very gamer man thought.
It's a pretty gamer man thought. Yeah.
It's a real gamer man thought.
Fairly gamer man thought, I would say. We only got a couple more.
Before I got one. I got one.
Yeah, please do.
This is the most gamer man thought right here. It's this idea with this sort of inflection, right? Esports? Gamer men perpetually just wondering about esports, never actualizing, never engaging, never playing, never being like fully on board, but just kind of like always like esports. Kind of like just really just thinking about it a lot, but not really ever doing anything, but always feeling like they're going to be the person that can tell someone else it's a thing, mm-hmm. but them themselves like not being totally sure.
That's every time the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or, you know, The Economist interviews a dude about esports, it's always a dude who's like, esports? It's always that guy. And they're always like, they try to act like they're not, but they end up saying like, you know, it's always something that's like technically right, but also like totally fucking wrong, where it's like, yeah, you know, the reason why esports are so big with the kids nowadays is because, you know, they grew up with games. And the internet's better, and so they play the video games online with each other. And that's like the entire fucking quote.
And they're like, here's $600 for your time.
Yeah, they're thanks like, oh man, this guy is a genius. He should be a consultant for my fucking company. That's a very gamer man thought. Esports?
Esports?
Who, another thing, a lot of people who don't understand esports, they got the whole, why would you want to watch another person play video games? Yeah,
the people who just don't get Twitch.
And you get paid
gamer,
for
gamer
it?
Men still not really getting Twitch, honestly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Even of my friends who play a lot of games,
mm-hmm.
almost all of them probably have that exact opinion.
3/4 of the guys in the barcade are like, why would you want to watch
someone play? Why would you watch somebody
while they watch their girlfriend play fucking
Strider
Galaga really badly? Strider. Yeah. And I only say really badly because everyone is really bad at Galaga.
And
that's
Strider.
Just the truth. And Pac-Man, to be honest. Like, who's getting past the second level with more than 1/4?
I'm good at Pac-Man.
No, you're not.
Oh, do you want to take it to Barcade? 1v1. 1v1.
Fucking 1v1. I mean, I guess that is the men evolution of the like 1v1 me, bro, is like, it's like a half joking but like also serious, let's hash this out on the arcade machine, buddy.
Take it to the sticks.
Okay, I got one.
All right,
and we don't really have to talk about this one. This is just one I wrote down. Maximizing SEO while creating the most ethical video game journalism possible and scolding the gamer boys in 2,000 word opinion pieces whose URLs contain the words Game of Thrones, Avengers, Destiny, Rick and Morty, Star Wars, etc. That is another thing gamer men love to do.
It feels like you're talking about someone specific, but I can't put my finger on it.
I mean, I'm talking about like 10 people specifically with that. At least there's like a lot of people who do that. And then the one I think we should wrap up on. unless you got others after this.
And I got one that I can think of. Right. Maybe it's related to the one you're talking about.
Protecting our sons and daughters.
Oh, man.
That's another one. Yes. That the gamer men love. And talking about it. Because, you know, with all these things, we love to talk about it because it's content. Because we don't... I feel like it's like the way that gamer men life is structured is like you're in a position of power because you got hired at the dream publication that you wanted to work for. You don't have that much free time outside of your job. And so all you really got time to do is talk about what everyone else is doing. And you don't really have any experiences of your own. Right. And the only ones that you have are like spending time with your kids. So it's like, that's why you see 1,000 articles a year about my son. Here's why playing BioShock here's how I have the best opinion on BioShock as a dad myself. You know?
Ooh, yeah. You get that second angle.
Right.
The dad angle. The juicy, you're not playing as a child. Angle. Yeah.
Right. It all trickles down from the top of like, not having the time to play games, but still wanting to participate in the culture. So you just talk about what you can talk about. But also wanting to
complain about watching people.
Yeah, exactly. There's like
you gotta complain about people watching people playing games, but all you talk about is watching your kid play games.
Right. When you're a boy, you complain about the meta. When you're a man, you complain about the kids complaining about the meta. So BioShock, The Last of Us, God of War, Dishonored, Heavy Rain, Octodad, Dream Daddy, fucking, there's so many of these games out there, and we love them all as dads, proverbial dads, yeah. Theoretical dads.
I got one to wrap it. I got a real rapper right here. Is that as a gamer man, and very possibly a gamer dad, a lot of your time is spent taking stock, just like looking around, just taking stock of what's going on.
Yeah, man.
You're not to the soundtrack, but you're doing a lot of thinking about what you're going to do. And you're like taking stock. You're looking around at your stuff, looking around at your gear, looking at your backlog, looking at your kid. You're just taking stock most of the time, sitting back in your chair and your smoking jacket and your stogie, half your scotch is gone, and you're just taking stock. You're like, was God of War really worth it?
Yeah.
Is there a real sunk cost fallacy to me playing 3,000 hours of Dota 2?
Mm-hmm. I think that's for the real gamer dads who are like out there still actually gaming. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're out there still beating games like God of War, like that's the shit you're thinking about. You're sitting there, stogie in your hand. First thought is, look at me, stogie in my hand. All three video game consoles on my shelf. Receiver set up perfectly. Surround sound made possible by the receiver, which has like 15 outputs. And I use 5 of them really well. Me look at the PC.
Don't worry, I got space for a 7.2 system when I got it.
Like,
oh my god, when I had the receiver, I felt like the most shame because part of the fucking receiver is that when you go through the setup of it, you basically go through and say which speakers you have or don't have. So it's like they show you this picture of this like fucking decked out home theater. it's like select the speakers you got, and then so it's like front speakers. I'm like, hell yeah, and it goes like top front speakers. It's like speakers that are in the fucking ceiling above the TV, and I'm like, no. It's like left right wall speakers, and I'm like, no.
For the people who,
it's like rear speakers.
For
no.
The people who aren't understanding this,
top rear speakers.
It's the equivalent of when you move into your first apartment and you have the like silverware, like drawer thing, but like you only have like forks and spoons.
Yes.
So it's like
you got like
you have
60 forks and
10
like
extra slots
plates
that you could be putting shit into, but you're like, I don't even own this shit yet.
It's like, I didn't even know I could have side, left, rear, front, middle speakers. It's like, you got chair vibrators, you got the popcorn machine, because it affects the way the sound moves through the space, you fucker. It's just like looking at this like shitty fucking drawing of like literally it was like 12 sets of speakers and I was like, I didn't even know this was possible. It's got so many.
Or like when they have the like speaker test thing where it's like press the thing and it will play a sound out of every one of the speakers and you're just like, wait, is this thing working? And you're waiting for like 15 seconds while it like, cycles through all the other speakers that you don't have.
30 other speakers.
Wait, is this thing working? And it's like, boo-doo-doo. It's like, oh, it is working. I just don't have 19 out of the 28 fucking speakers. Loser.
Oh, God, it's so funny.
But, you know, you took stock when you were...
I took stock, man. Taking stock. I was looking at my life. I was like, man, maybe I should get side, front, mirror, middle, top speakers. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need that. Taking stock of what I got.
Which in turn leads to mild existential crises about the time we invest in video games, whether that's worthwhile, whether we should get nearly as much joy out of the video games as we do out of seeing our children smile or score their first goal. Or get their first soccer trophy.
Or do the big one.
Yeah. Should we be getting this? Like, wow. That moment at the end of God of War where I decapitated that boss. Why did that make me feel almost as happy as my son's first grade graduation? I don't know. How did I get here?
The back of the box said it was impactful, but I'm not feeling
it. It's like a mixture of The Times Are Changing from Bob Dylan mixed with... And The Days Go By Talking Heads. That's what that song's called, right? And The Days Go By. And it's like, you're like, how did I get here? Yeah.
That's what you're doing as a game. I mean, all that stuff. That's all great. That's all what you're doing as a... Oh, I have a... Before we end this, I have a small sidebar that's related to me, the gamer man, meeting some gamer boys.
So
my sister is a middle school teacher.
Oh wow.
And she was like, yeah, you want to Skype in and talk about what you do at your job,
dude, to my students? I've always wanted to do that, but I've never gotten one of those.
Yes. I was like the fucking Colin on Bill Nye.
Wow.
Where they're like, let's call the person at the volcano and see what it's like at the science factory. I was like that person. And like, I don't know what it was, but the kids went fucking ape shit. As soon as I got on screen, they were just like, whoa! And then they just cared. They were just screaming at the screen, do you play video games? Just constantly. And I was like, well, let's do this then. And so like, I have all my stuff is behind me on my receiver. And I picked up a PlayStation controller and I held it in front of the screen. And they're like, oh! And then I grabbed an Xbox controller and they're like, oh, just like lost it. And then like, there's like a few kids who are like sitting, just being like, no one likes me. And then I pull out the Switch and they're like, yay. It's like the Nintendo kids got excited too. Cause I was like, had all three. And then they yelled, do you stream? They're like, do you stream? What's your stream name? And they said, do you play Rainbow? Like you play Rainbow? And they said, do you play Fortnite? And Rainbow. And then I dabbed and they lost
you
their fucking shit.
You dabbed for the kids?
I was also all boys. Oh, yeah. I dabbed for the kids and they like, some of them might have pooped their pants. Dude. For real.
Did you do a bottle flip?
I looked at that. I didn't. I should have done a bottle flip.
You should have done a bottle flip. Wow. You should have whipped out your
fidget spinner. It was just weird being a gamer man. I did show him the fidget spinner.
Of course you did.
That happened.
You're a smart man.
I said TikTok and they also just went crazy. If you just say things kids like on a screen with a position of authority, they're just like, I feel recognized.
Yeah, they're like, I can't believe like I got someone on the other side, you know, who knows.
Yeah. I was also wearing like a t-shirt and my sister teaches at a private school. And so they were like, they were in uniforms and they saw me in my t-shirt and I was like at my job and they're like, is that what you wear to work?
You're like, if you move to Brooklyn, yeah. This could be you.
This could be you.
Get a job at a startup and this could be you. Yeah.
But yeah, I was looking at some gamer boys and being like, it's ripe time we talk about men.
Yeah.
Because we're not those
kids
yelling about Rainbow.
Rainbow. It's called Rainbow Six Siege, buddy. Rainbow. And it was a huge win for its company that released it. Ubisoft? Is it Ubisoft? I'm not doing a very good job of being a gamer, man.
Tom Clancy Company.
The Tom Clancy Company. I think we're down to wrap it up. You know, going to bed early is another thing that I'm into. You've already missed out on that opportunity, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
But I just might miss out on it as well because I have to edit the episode. But let's go out on a good note here on the last thing that gamer men like to do, which is show love for one another. Kyle, have I ever told you I look up to you?
No. I don't think you look up to me, Josh. That's too, you're too being too nice.
It's true, buddy. And you're great.
Oh.
You're a great friend. You're a great gamer. You're a great host. And it's just a real pleasure to be out here with you day in and day out, podcast in and podcast out, exchanging words, just me and you.
It's great. I think when we first had this idea for the podcast, I was like, man, I've been playing games with a lot of my friends for my whole life. And we tried to do a podcast once and it fucking fell on its face. But I talking to you, I was like, I want to do a podcast with Josh. He's smart.
Oh my God.
He's funny. He like,
wow.
You know what the like kids are doing, but you have a critical distance from it and you can engage with it, but also be like smart about it. And I was like, Josh is so smart, man. I wish I could like, he's just got it. So when you moved to LA, I was sad. I was like, damn.
That means a lot.
My boy's gone.
Means a lot.
But now the podcast keeps us together.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. Always. Always. This is Bad End. Episode 47. Subscribe to our Patreon. Patreon.com/Bad End. Like us on Facebook. Actually, don't do that. We don't actually use Facebook. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Bad End Podcast. Email us at badendpod@gmail.com. And we will see you all in a couple of weeks.
Also, retweet our podcast. Spread the word. We need some new blood in the Discord. I love everybody in there. But
always
like,
need to get some new blood injections. You know? Always good to have that. So we'll see you in a couple weeks. Later.